Title of this morning's lesson is pretty simple and straightforward. It's simply, what will you be doing? And the reference is to the last day. What will you be doing on the last day? This is one of those lessons that hopefully will cause us to think very much about what we're doing with our lives right now. The Bible says there is going to be a last day. Jesus repeatedly said, John chapter 6, he said like four or five times in that chapter that there's going to be a last day and that the Father would raise him up on the last day. Raise us up on the last day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about the last day when Jesus is coming back to gather up His saints with Him in the air, and we will be with Him always. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about the last day. We'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be changed from corruptible to an incorruptible. Why? So we can dwell with Him forever. Yes, there is a last day. The Apostle Peter talks about the last day. Please turn with me as we begin. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we'll begin in verse 7 and following. 2 Peter chapter 3. And first of all, notice verse 7. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." The day. There is going to be the day, the last day, the day of judgment. He continues talking about it in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works which are in it, or that are in it, will be burned up, destroyed, done away with. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." Heat. Peter, time after time after time, talks about the last day, the day of judgment, the day of fire, the day of perdition. There is going to be a last day. What are the signs of the last day? Oh, there aren't any. You mean what I hear on TV and the radio is not true? That's correct. It's not true. No signs, no warnings. When the last day is here, the last day will be here. You won't know months or years in advance by a number of signs. Even some of Jesus' disciples were unaware of that. They thought that there was going to be signs of these things because they equated the destruction of Jerusalem with the final day. They couldn't imagine life going on with Jerusalem and the temple being destroyed. So they assumed that was all the same thing. But Jesus set them straight in Matthew chapter 24. He said those are two very different things. Of course, the destruction of Jerusalem took place over 1900 years ago. We're still here. The world is still here. It's not been dissolved. It's not been destroyed. Things haven't been melted with fire. So what will people be doing on the last day? Well, Jesus answers that question for us. And He answers it in several places. First, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Beginning in verse 36 and then following. And notice what Jesus Himself says about that time. He says in verse 36, "But of that day and hour, no one knows." Well, that should set it pretty well straight, shouldn't it? Jesus Himself said, But of that day and hour, no one knows. So those people on radio and TV really don't know? That's correct. They don't know. Jesus said, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven know that. So even if an angel appeared now, that angel couldn't tell us when the last day was, the day of judgment. The angels don't even know. But my Father only. He says, this is what's going to be happening on the last day. People are going to be going about their business just like they are now. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were doing what? Waiting for the flood? Nope. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So what's going to be happening on the last day? Well, the same things that were happening on the day before the last day. The same things that were happening the week before the last day, the month before the last day, the year before the last day. It will be just the same. No, there's not going to be an Antichrist coming down. No, Jesus isn't going to come and start some war here on earth with Satan. None of those things. I know that because Jesus said what's going to be happening on the last day. People are going to be doing it. They're going to be sitting around the table with their family eating. They're going to be having a meal. They're going to be sitting around talking, drinking. There's going to be weddings taking place on the last day. There'll be funerals on the last day. People will be going to their jobs on the last day. The last day will not look like what people say the last day is going to look like. So when we wake up on the last day, we won't have any idea. It's the last day. That's what he says. So when we ask, what will you be doing on the last day? The same as before. In James chapter 4, James mentions this same thing. James chapter 4, read with me a couple of verses there. James chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. James writes in verse 13 of chapter 4, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Do we know what's going to be happening a year from now? No. Because today might be the last day. You might be planning on going to a new job or going to make some profit or doing this or that. But today might be the last day. That's what James says. You don't know when the last day is. So people will be going about doing those same type of things. They'll be working. They'll be working in the fields. They'll be grinding at the mill. Jesus says back in Matthew chapter 24 in verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You know what some men will be doing on the last day? They'll be in the casinos. They'll be gambling. Why? Because people were gambling the day before. So they'll be gambling on the last day. And that's exactly where they'll be when Christ comes. When the last trumpet is heard, when he descends, that's where they'll be. Some will be in the local bar drinking. Why? Because that's what they've been doing every day. So they're going to be doing that on the last day. They're going to be involved in all kinds of things. Yeah, some will be stealing or robbing a convenience store. On the very day that Jesus returns, people will be cheating other people, deceiving other people, robbing other people. They're going to be doing that on the last day because they were doing that before the last day, and that's what they've been doing. People will be taking illegal drugs. When Jesus comes back, people will be taking cocaine. They'll be taking heroin. They'll be doing all of this. Why? Because that's what people have been doing. Sir, they're going to be doing that on the last day. They're going to be doing all those things that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1. Remember, in that chapter, he has a long list of what people who don't know God, who are outside of Christ, will be doing. Look at a few of those things. Turn with me. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Beginning in verse 28. This is what people will be doing on the last day because they were doing it in the first century. So they'll be doing it on the last day. Beginning in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, their whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. See, people are going to be doing all of those things when Jesus comes, when the last trumpet is sounded. They're going to be doing all of those things. There'll be people sitting around planning on doing evil. Leaders of countries will be sitting around discussing what's going to take place next week, next year, 10 years from now, and none of it will take place because why? It'll be the last day. There will be no more world. It's going to be finished. It's going to be done away with. It's going to be gone. So evil people and wicked people will be doing evil things and wicked things when Christ returns. On the last day, the day of judgment, that's what they're going to be doing. People will also be treating each other rudely, harshly, unkindly. Friends will be breaking up friendships. Marriages will be in the midst of being broken up. Husbands and wives will be yelling at one another. Husbands and wives will be cheating on their spouses on the very day that Jesus returns. They'll be doing that. Some will. So those relationships will be in the process of being broken up on the last day. And they won't ever be fixed. Why? Because it's the last day. No wonder Jesus warned there in Matthew 24, watch, be prepared. Why? Because you do not know the day or the hour when he will return. So repeatedly, over and over again, Jesus and the writers of the New Testament tell us, be prepared. Because when you wake up in the morning, you will have no idea it's the last day. Why? People are going to be doing exactly the same things they've always done. That's why. So all of those relationships the Bible talks about, parents and children, husbands and wives, friends, all of those, people will be abusing one another, being harsh and rude to each other, being unfaithful to their spouses, just like they were the day before. No changes, none whatsoever. They're still going to be doing those things. There's going to be people on the last day that are promoting and teaching and preaching false doctrine. Just like they are today, and just like they did yesterday and last year and 10 years and 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago. People will still be teaching things that are ungodly, unscriptural, false. On that day, and it doesn't make any difference what day of the week it is, people will be teaching and preaching others, whether it's one-on-one or to big groups of people, that one's saved by faith alone. They're going to be doing that. And people on the last day will be believing that on the last day. Why? Because they were doing it the day before and the day before and the day before. And the last day is going to be just like every other day. So there's going to be people teaching that and preaching it and promoting it, that one is saved by faith alone. And people will be believing that, and they will die in that condition. Why? Because that's what happened the day before, and the day before, and the day before. And they will not have some 1,000 years. They won't have a year. They won't have a day. They won't have a second. Because when the last day comes, it's the last day. And it'll be over. All those times that people have had to believe the truth and act upon it, it will be over one day. Why? Because it's the last day. No more opportunities to believe and obey. So people will continue to be promoting all kinds of man-made religions, whether it's started by one man or a group of men or by a committee or by a college or by whomever. On the last day when Jesus comes, there'll be people all over this world that are doing that very thing, telling others how wonderful this man-made religion is that was started by men for men. They'll be promoting that and talking about it and saying how wonderful it is. But on the last day then, after Christ returns, they'll know they were wrong. They won't have any chance to repent. There's no purgatory. There's no second chances or second opportunities for anyone ever. So on the last day, that's it. He's going to come back and the world's going to be destroyed. No second chances, no more opportunities of any kind. And those people who've been promoting those false churches, false faiths, false religions, Jesus says they're like one who sows tares in the field. And those weeds, those toxic weeds, grow up amongst the good. And then at the end of the age, what is God going to do? He's going to burn up those tares. Because every plant not planted by the Heavenly Father will be destroyed. But there won't be any second chances then, because the last day is the last day. No more second chances of any kind. And probably the most disturbing of all is they're going to be Christians. They're going to be people who have placed their faith in Christ, who've made the great confession, they've repented, they've experienced the new birth by being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. There will be people who have done that on the last day who are unfaithful. There will be. Why? Because they were unfaithful the day before, and there have been people unfaithful since the first century. So there will be unfaithful, apathetic, uncaring Christians who thought that once they were baptized, they were always saved. And that's one of the most dangerous things to believe ever. The Bible never teaches once baptized, always saved. Yes, it does teach that one must be baptized. There's a necessity for it. But the Bible also teaches that afterward, you must be faithful all the way, even to the point of death. So on the last day, yes, as disturbing as it is, there's going to be unfaithful Christians. And they didn't make amends. They didn't make changes. And so they'll be found that way by Christ. No second chances, no more opportunities. They will die that way, or they will end their lives that way. That will be it for them. That's how they will be judged. That's the condition. Because the writer of Hebrews tells us that God has appointed a day of judgment. And after that, there's no more opportunities. Remember Paul's speech in Athens in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, he says, he commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he has appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world. A day. So the condition we die in, or the condition that we are in when Christ returns, is the condition we're judged in. No second chances, no more opportunities. So the last day will truly be the last day. There will be people like the rich fool that we've talked about in here before in Luke chapter 16. There are going to be people who loved this world, Christians who loved this world more than they loved their Savior. And it was this world that they placed their real trust in. And it was evident, regardless of what they said, it was evident by how they lived and what they put first in their lives. There have been Christians doing that every day. So on the last day, there will be Christians doing that very thing. They'll be unfaithful, uncaring, apathetic, not concerned about things of God, but concerned about things of the world. And what if he came back on the Lord's Day? I suppose it'd be fitting in some respects if the last day was the Lord's Day. But since we don't know, we don't know. And we have no idea what day of the week it will be. But how awful it would be if he came back on the Lord's Day and you were somewhere else. Maybe you were fishing or hunting or just watching TV, I don't know. What would you have to say? Well, there wouldn't be anything to say. There wouldn't be any response. Why? Because it's the last day. And the last day is the last day. But here's the good side of it. On the last day, there are going to be many, many Christians who are happy because it's the last day. They were there worshiping, maybe if it was on a Sunday. Or maybe they were studying, maybe they were talking with their neighbor or their co-worker about Christ. They were helping someone who had lost a loved one, or they were helping take clothes to somebody who needed it. There will be many Christians on the last day who are doing those things. And so the last day for them will be a day of joy, rejoicing, happiness. Because when he comes back, they will be found faithful. And so it'll be the greatest day in the world for them, the last day. Why? Because there's no more suffering in this world, no more heartaches, no more pain in this world. They'll get to hear, "Enter into the joy of your Lord." That's what they'll get to hear. Why? Because after their new birth, they didn't believe once baptized, always saved. They knew that God wanted them to be faithful. And so that's how they lived their life. No, they weren't perfect. They weren't sinless. They made mistakes. They transgressed. But they kept going back, repenting, and asking to be forgiven. So on the last day, they were found faithful. And so when they heard the last trump, when they saw Christ descend, they were ecstatic. Why? Because it was the last day. And they knew that from then on, they were going to be in the presence of the Father, presence of God in heaven through eternity. So no wonder they were happy. No wonder they were rejoicing. You know, one day is going to be the last day. You and I don't know. Might be today. But we have no idea. There are no clues, hints, anything. He's not going to send us an email saying it's going to be next Friday at 9:30 in the morning. We have no idea when it's going to be. That's why he continually told his disciples to watch. He told them to be prepared. Because you do not know the hour nor the day. One morning is going to be the last sunrise we ever see. You may have many, 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 many more sunrises to see, or this morning's sunrise may have been it. It may have been the last one. That's why Jesus says, be prepared. If you've not experienced the new birth, if you've not had your sins washed away, that's the first thing one must do to be prepared. And number two, He doesn't expect us to be sinless. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He does expect us to be faithful. And He tells us when we've not been faithful that we can ask for forgiveness. And sometimes we need to do that publicly and ask for the prayers of the congregation. And what a wonderful opportunity that is. And so when David leads us in this song, let's examine ourselves and see, you know, am I a Christian? Or if I am, how faithful have I been? Do I need to start over with a clean slate? And if either one of those is something you need to do, then I would encourage you to do that as we stand and sing this song.